Our Bible reading for this morning is taken from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30, 11 to the end. The offer of life or death. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I will declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, although it's cold outside, may we feel the warmth of your parental love as we look into your word. May we be changed and inspired by your teaching. Amen. A guy walks into work with both his ears bandaged up, and the boss says to him, "What's happened to your ears?" He said, "Well, yesterday I was ironing the shirt and the phone rang and I accidentally answered the iron instead of the phone." And the boss said, "Well, that explains one ear." He said, "But what happened to the other ear?" He said, "Well, Jess, I just had to call the doctor." You know, sometimes we never seem to learn from our mistakes, do we? And throughout life, we all have to make many choices. On a daily basis, really. And quite often we do choose, I think, the wrong option. The choices we make can perhaps seem insignificant, such as what clothes do we wear or what we're going to eat today. To the other extreme, perhaps a major life-changing decision. And at times, especially if we're given multiple choices, we become very indecisive. I know I do. Last week I was playing golf at Ilford Golf Course for the police. It was our last game of the season. And at Ilford Golf Course they do some amazing catering. It's all sort of homemade cooking. And after demolishing a beautiful meat and mushroom pie, it was dessert time. Now, believe it or not, I'm quite a slow eater. And I watched all the desserts being dished out around me. You know, was I going to go for the jam roly-poly with custard? Or perhaps the pear tart with custard? And then the third choice, chocolate cake with cream. And I was very tempted to ask the catering staff, could I have a little bit of each? But I thought, you don't do that sort of thing with the etiquette of a golf club, do you, Peter? I was tempted to, but of course, I didn't. And then to the other extreme, 27 years ago, I had to make a choice whether to give permission to the doctor to turn off Maggie's life support. All of us are faced with choices. Some are perhaps easier than others. Now, in our reading today, Moses is laying it on the line that the Hebrews would have to make this life or death choice. If they loved the only true God with all their hearts and followed his ways and the laws and commandments, they would enter into the promised land and they would have a life that would be full and blessed. Or the other option, if they chose to turn their back on God, perhaps cocked deafened at times or got led astray, the other choice was death. Moses at this time was close to death himself after wandering around in the desert for 40 years with a bunch of whinging, disobedient, ungrateful people who'd been brought out of slavery from Egypt. Just want us to consider some of the facts about the Exodus out of Egypt. Do you realise how many people left Egypt with Moses? Well, they reckon it was about 2 million people. Do you also realise that that journey could have took months instead of 40 years? Because of their disobedience and their worship to other gods, the true God, our God, the God of creation, made them wait and wander around in the promised land. Do we also realise that out of those original 2 million people, only two were going to be allowed to cross over the River Jordan into the promised land? And it was only Joshua, who was going to be the leader after Moses, and Caleb, who were both spies that went into Canaan when God told them to take Canaan. They went in, came back, and they wanted to carry out God's instructions, but the others had no bottle. They said, no, there's giants in there, we don't want to take it. So God honoured those two, with the other, by this time, nearly 3 million that were going to cross the River Jordan, all the kids that had been born. But it's only two out of the original 2 million were going to cross with him. You know, even poor old Moses wasn't going to be allowed to go into the promised land. Although God was going to allow him to have a glimpse from the opposite bank. Why? Because of what to would probably seem to us a minor indiscretion. And it's mentioned in Numbers chapter 20. You know, the whinging crowd were thirsty, they needed water, they were having a right pop at Moses. So Moses and Aaron knelt before God in prayer. And God, being a generous God, was going to supply the water. And he told Moses to go and talk to the rock and they would have ample water. So Moses went up to the rock, but didn't speak to it. He hit it, not once, but twice, with his rod. And sure enough, the water came out. But he never followed God's instructions to the letter of the law. You see, no matter how good we are, or how much we've done for God, we sometimes disobey him. And the result of our disobedience is that we will be disciplined. There will always be consequences. God disciplined poor old Moses severely, and yet he still called him friend. And I know that Moses will be in heaven, but he wasn't physically allowed to cross over into that promised land. I wonder how we would respond if we felt the sting of God's discipline. Some of us probably have in the past. I think we need to respond as Moses did. You know, he didn't throw a tantrum or argue his case. And I think we shouldn't turn away in anger, embarrassment or resentment. Instead, we should turn towards God with our love, openness and a desire to do better. Hey guys, none of us are perfect, least of all me. But it doesn't mean that we give up trying for perfection. And make no mistake, we are no different, no better than those Hebrew slaves, you know. We know, perhaps we don't want to admit to it, but I'm sure that at times we can be ungrateful, we can be selfish, moaners, and we often wander around, don't we, in our own little world, perhaps giving a little thought during the week to what God has done in the past or what God can do in the future. Except maybe perhaps we come here on a Sunday and we're reminded, oh, by hymn, song or sermon. You know, are we God's people 24/7? And I think we would do well to remember that the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. The Trinity tells us that it's God, three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hebrews 13, verse 8, tells us this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Christmas is a wonderful time to reflect and worship how God humbled himself to be born again into that dark and disobedient world in the stable. By doing so, that we could follow the example and teaching of Jesus Christ, which includes obeying God's laws and his commandments, so that we can live the life that God intended us to live. A woman went into the post office to buy stamps for her Christmas cards. "What denomination?" asked the clerk. "Oh, good heavens. Have we come to this?" said the woman. "Well, give me 50 Catholic and 50 Baptist ones then." You see, likewise, many Christians since the early church have either misunderstood what was said, or perhaps they've misinterpreted or manipulated scripture to suit their own needs. And by this mean, I mean perhaps selecting little snippets of text or scripture rather than taking the overall context of a theme. It's easily done. I know I've tried it in the past when I want to get out of something. I look for something. Let's find something that'll get me out of this, you know. But we shouldn't do that. I know when I first became a Christian 27 years ago, the house church movement and some of the free churches were growing at a very rapid rate. And I must say that I believe their freedom in worship and some of the healing ministry that was taking place was really good. And I admired all that. But I was very concerned regarding some of their teaching on the law. Many were teaching that we're no under the law of God, but we're under the grace of Jesus Christ, which is true to a certain extent. For instance, Jesus certainly wouldn't want us to be like the Pharisees or other religious leaders of the day who's enshrined in laws many that had misinterpreted and had even made up some of their own. They were so religious. I hate it when somebody calls me, "Oh, you're religious." I'm not. I'm somebody that loves Jesus Christ. And there's a difference. You know, the Spirit of God never got a look in with the Pharisees. Hear what Jesus called them from Matthew 23, verse 27. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like the whitewashed tombs which outwardly appear beautiful, but within lie full of dead men's bones and all uncleansedness." Strong words. Jesus, meek and mild, eh? See, sadly, some modern teaching gives wrong instructions. And they say that almost anything goes. It's okay, we have the freedom in Christ to do more. That's what we want. Because Christ has paid the price. How sad that they seem to have overlooked Christ's words in Matthew 5, 18 to 20, which says this. "For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But he," and that includes you ladies as well, of course, who does them and teaches them, shall be called great in the kingdom heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Strong words again. But thankfully, through the God of the New Testament, who seems to have mellowed a little bit, perhaps, since dealing harshly with the Hebrew slaves, when, not if we break the commandments, when we sin, we can reclaim the key to heaven through the sacrifice of Christ as we confess and repent. And we'll be having an opportunity this morning to do that. Now today, in our sermon series on the Ten Commandments, which concludes, I can now see why J. John, in his book Ten, places the first commandment last in his book, in the study. You shall have no other gods before me. And this commandment, although last in the series, is by no means least. In fact, it underpins all the other commandments that we've looked at. And it's vital that we understand that the one true living God himself is at the core of all these commandments. The two reasons, as J. John points out in his book. First of all, it reminds us that we cannot remove God from the commandments, as often people try to do. For instance, most people would agree in an ideal world there shouldn't be murder, theft, adultery, and we should honour our parents. Now, many countries, including non-Christian countries, base their laws of the land on these principles. Consider that God is behind them all. For example, murder is wrong because it takes a life that God has given. Bearing false witness and lying is wrong because God is the God of truth. Adultery is wrong because God is a God of faithfulness. And so on. Do you see what I mean when I say God is in all those commandments? As Christians, we are called to be Christ-like, God-like. And it's only possible to obey the commandments when we are in a proper relationship with the God that gave them. And secondly, we must understand that Christianity isn't just about obeying some of the rules for life. Now, if we think that the Christian life is just a matter of do's and don'ts, we totally miss the point. J. John states this: to say Christianity is only about keeping the Ten Commandments is like saying driving is all about keeping the traffic regulations and the highway code. We all know that it's something else, like we have to get into the car, start the engine, and the travelling. The regulations and highway code are vital, but they're not at all what driving is all about. Yes, the fundamental, the commandments are a guideline for life, but they're not life itself. You know, fundamentally, Christianity is about getting and staying in a right relationship with God. And that is why this first commandment is so important. You know, it puts God first. Don't make the mistake that I'm sure I've done and some of you have done in the past. Don't make this mistake of trying to fit God into our schedule. We should build our schedule around God. You know, is God the most important person? Is he the priority in our lives? Do you want to enter the promised land, even if maybe you feel unworthy? Then today, you must make a life or death choice. You either accept Jesus or you reject him. There can be no sitting on the fence. And it's only he that holds the key by his redeeming blood shed on the cross. Just let us pray. I think all of us perhaps need to do a reality check. Some of us may be Moses, You know, we worked hard for the church, but not always completely followed God's agenda. Some of us may be Pharisees. We look good on the outside, and we appear to do the right thing. Perhaps we're religious, but inside, well, that's another story. Perhaps we've resisted the Holy Spirit's power to equip and change our lives. There may even be some here who have never actually invited Jesus into their life and made that life or death decision. Can I encourage you to take that step this morning? Some of us may be perfect and think that our place in heaven is guaranteed. Let us now come into the presence of the only perfect person ever to walk the earth. You may want to echo these words in your heart. Father God, forgive us when we have wandered off your paths of righteousness. Or we've been too religious, maybe blinded by some of the traditional ritual. May we all be open to the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives and the life of this church. If we are yet to invite you into our lives, help us to get off the fence and make that life-changing decision to follow you. We invite you now to either begin or to renew our relationship with you. Lord, help us to love you, to honour you, and to obey you, so that you too will truly call us your friend.